Good morning. So good to be with you again today in this worship service. It is so good to hear Van lead us in those songs. I appreciate those more and more, and I was thinking about the song, I Am Mine No More. And that was, give you a little age of the song, that was a song when I was converted that really, I really appreciated as a young man hearing that song sung, I Am Mine No More. And it makes me think of the price that Jesus paid for us. A few moments ago, we took time to consider the price that was paid for us. How that Jesus selflessly, went to the cross on our behalf. How he shed his blood to purchase our salvation. This morning we're thinking about the idea of kindness. I hope and pray that you are with your families or with yourself. You're examining these devotionals each week. That you are taking the time to study the Word of God, to look deeper at these godly words. Last week we had the opportunity to think about forgiveness. And I'll encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up one of the books in the back. One word. Each week we look at one word. And this word this week is kindness. We think of kindness in its supreme form. We think of godly kindness. You know, as I was preparing my thoughts this week, I came across a story about Abraham Lincoln, a kindly man. You know, despite Abraham Lincoln's busy schedule, I mean, he was the president in the middle of a civil war. He still took time often to visit the hospitals to cheer the wounded soldiers. Well, on one occasion, he saw a young fellow who was near death. And he asked the question, is there anything I can do for you? Asked the compassionate president. The young man said, please write a letter to my mother. He was at the point he could no longer write letters himself. The young man, though, did not recognize the man whom he was speaking with. He just thought it was a kindly individual. And so the chief executive of our nation sat down and wrote this letter. My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty, and I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me. The young man was too weak to go on, and so he ended the letter. However, Lincoln decided to sign the letter for him. He added this postscript, written for your son, by Abraham Lincoln. Asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover the man who had shown him so much kindness. Are you really our president? He asked. Yes. The quiet answer came. Now is there anything I can do more for you? The lad feebly replied, please hold my hand. It would help me to see, to help see me through to the end. The tall, gaunt man granted his request, offering warm words of encouragement until death stole in with the dawn. What an amazing act of kindness and great generosity for a man who had many other concerns in life, many other responsibilities, many other people tugging at him. And yet, despite all of that, he took a moment to offer this poor young fellow a moment of kindness. A quote has been said, three things in human life are important. First is to be kind. Second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. I want to impress upon you today that as we claim to be followers of God, as we claim the name Christian, to be kind is to be Christian. That is one of the attributes that God demands of us. But shouldn't it be that you and I as Christians, as we consider the great kindness of our God, should that not be a natural response of all followers of Jesus? As we consider this, I want us to look at a few things about kindness. Number one, God is kind, and if I want to be like God, I will be kind. One cold wintry night, a little boy and a little girl, poorly clad, made their way up to a big old farmhouse. Cold knuckles rapped on that door, and after a while, a rather large lady with a smile on her face came to the door. She saw the two young children outside. They were cold, so she brought them in before a big burning fireplace. She hurried and got a big glass of hot chocolate. She came and put a blanket around their shivering shoulders. The little girl looked up at this woman who had shown them so much kindness, and she asked the question, "Are you God's wife?" Our God is a God of great kindness. There's something innocent and truthful in her response about those who are kind or those who are most like God. Think about Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. You remember Joseph's story, and you remember all the trials and the things he went through as his son, or as his brother sold him into slavery, as he was taken and he was put in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife had wrongly claimed sexual crimes against him, and he was put into prison. But the text tells us that during all of that, the Lord was with Joseph, and that he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know, God goes with us. No matter what life does to us, no matter where it takes us, those who are followers of Christ always have God with them. And God's mercy or his kindness is with them. You think of the word we mentioned a few weeks ago when we talked about mercy, the word hesed. That word is translated mercy in the Old Testament, but it's also translated kindness. God's mercy is filled with kindness. God, our God, is a kind God. In the passage that Billy read for us in Psalm 117, the psalmist wrote these words, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Can we not all say amen to the kindness of God and the great kindness that he has shown to us time and time again? Peter gives this exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in love," or in due time, I'm sorry. casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. There are many in our world who feel like they're alone and no one cares for them. They seek and they go down into deep depressions, feeling all alone. If they would just turn to God, they would see a God who cares for them, a God who truly loves them. Even when people do us harm, when they hurt us, when they malign us, there is one who is supreme in this universe that loves us and that has a deep affection for us. And Peter says, if we will but humble ourselves, God will exalt us. God will care for us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, Titus wrote these words. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. You know, when you think about the ultimate kind act, there is no greater example than our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that, as Philippians chapter 2 tells us, 5 through 8, that Jesus left heaven. He left all of the beauties and wonders and the pleasures of heaven. Do you know why He did that? He did that because of you. And because of all mankind. He looked at our condition. He looked at the journey and the destination of mankind. And He was moved with great compassion. And God, Jesus, our God, left heaven. And He came to this earth to walk, to suffer, to hunger, to thirst, to be tired. And at the end of all that, to suffer the great insult and harm of the cross, all because of His great mercy and compassion for you. That's how much God loves you. And when you think of kindness, there's just simply no greater example of kindness. And so then we ask the question, what should our response be to God's kindness? 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Peter wrote, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. You know, he's speaking to Christians. And we might say all that should be just necessarily inferred to be a child of God, that I am none of those things. But they had to be reminded that they needed to lay those things aside, put them away from you. And he continues, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. You know, you have a young child. We have a young boy right now who, when he's hungry, when that desire for milk comes on him, there's nothing else in the world but that milk. That's all he's focused on. That's his greatest passion and desire in life. And so he is going to seek that out the best way he knows how, which is crying. And he is going to seek it out passionately, fervently, zealously, until it's satisfied. Peter says that you and I should have the same kind of desire as those young children for their milk. We should have that same kind of desire to know about God, to know about His Word, to desire His truth, His love. And he continues, that you may grow thereby. That baby needs that milk to grow. We need that milk of the Word to grow spiritually. And he says, we do this. Notice verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Our Lord is kind. We need to in turn be like Him. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Are we imitating Christ in our life? Are we showing to others that same kind of kindness? You also notice here, that not only is God kind and therefore we should be kind, but also that the Bible commands me to be kind. It's sad sometimes that we need a commandment to be kind. That's a sad realization, but the truth is, if we need it, it's there. It is commanded by God. Notice Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. The prophet said, "Has he shown you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" You notice the word, there were three things there that were expected of the Israelites, that were required by God. These three things: to do justice, to be just with others and fair. But that second one, to love mercy. Another way that might be interpreted, or translated, I'm sorry, is the word kindness. That word hesed. God's people are those who love kindness and to be kind. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and following. We'll just focus on 12 today. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved," he says, "I want you to put on some things. Put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." As a child of God, are these not things that we should be about? Should these things not make up our character of who we are? We ask the question, are we kind people? Am I kind with my family? Am I kind to my spouse? Am I kind with my brothers and sisters? Am I kind to my neighbor? You know, it's one thing to learn the truth. There are a lot of people who have the opportunity to learn the truth. It's another thing to take that truth and allow it to change our lives. It's not just enough to know the Word of God, but it has to make an effect on our lives. It has to change who we are. What kind of people are we? You know, in Romans chapter 1, as Paul writes to the Romans about the Gentile people, and he lists a lot of things in chapter 1 about these evil activities that the Romans were involved in, and they were awful, evil stuff. Right in the middle of all those we might term big sins, he lists a few things there that maybe hit a little closer to home. He talks about disobedient to parents. We're disobedient to our parents. And then he mentions another one. He says backbiters. It seems an odd one to go in the list of all those sexual sins, the idolatry, all of the other things that he lists there. And he puts in that list backbiters. It's a backbiter. Isn't that someone who tears others down? The antithesis of what it means to be kind. Sometimes I wonder if we don't take pleasure in beating others down with our words, whether to their face or maybe to their back. I worry that for us, maybe we might be tempted to make backbiting a sport. Another way to phrase that is a gossip. How do we treat others with our words? What do we say about people when they're around and when they're not around? Are we speaking words that build others up, or are we tearing other people apart? You notice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Paul wrote, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Why would the Apostle Paul need to write those words? Shouldn't we all just know that? And yet he had to write them. If he wrote a letter to you today, if he wrote a letter to your household, Well, what do he need to write to you? Would he need to exhort you to be kind? Would he need to exhort me to be kind? Are we kind as God has been kind to us? The next thing we notice here, first we looked at God is kind and we need to be kind. The Bible commands me to be kind, and also we need to realize that our kindness will have an effect on others, that it will help us to lead others to Christ. Do we want to win souls to the church, to the gospel? One of the first things we need to consider is how we approach others. Notice Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Notice there are two things that the proverb writer says that you and I need to keep near and dear to us. Number one is the truth. He's not downplaying the need of truth. We need to know the word of truth. We need to live by the truth. There's no getting around that. And kindness and mercy and grace are not a substitute for the truth. The truth is a necessity. But he says not only the truth, but he says mercy or kindness. How do we treat others with the truth? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul speaks about how that God gave men to be apostles, to be prophets, evangelists, pastors or elders, and teachers. Well, why did God send these men out? He said, for the equipping of the saints, to teach others the truth. And you notice that as they do that in verse 15, that they were to speak the truth. Speaking the truth is important. Paul establishes that's important. We need to know the truth and then speak the truth. But not only that, notice as he continues, speaking the truth in love. I've known Christians who knew the truth quite well, but could have used a lesson in love or kindness. How do we treat others? How do we treat others with the Word of God? You know, we need to make our words to always be filled with kindness as well as truth. You notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter speaks to wives who are in a relationship with a man who is not a Christian. And his exhortation is not to leave your husband, not to walk away, but he exhorts them to live and to be an example of Jesus Christ. And he says that by your conduct, you may win your spouse. Now, how are you going to do that? Is that just going to be knowing the truth? No. He says that not only is it about knowing the truth, but it's about living that out. And he said those spouses may, through their conduct, be won to Christ because of their gentle and quiet spirit, because of their kind heart. Do we slam the gospel or slap the gospel across people's faces? Not many people like to be slapped. Or do we teach the truth in love? Two very different approaches. Both have truth. One will be received much better. In Proverbs 31, verse 26, as the proverb writer Solomon writes about the virtuous woman. You notice one of the characteristics of this woman is that in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. She's got truth. She has got discernment of the truth. But you notice on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness. Are we kind people? Are we being kind as God was kind to us? We've noticed that God is kind. I want to be like God, and so therefore I need to be kind. Not only that, but the Bible teaches me, instructs me, commands me to be kind. Kindness will win souls to the Lord. And then finally, kindness has a way of coming back to us. There was a man who drove his Lincoln Continental home from work. He saw as he drove home a little boy standing outside of a grocery store crying. He pulled over to the curb, touched the button, the power window came rolling down, and he said to the young boy, "What's wrong, son?" "Nothing, mister," the little boy said. But the man knew that little boys just didn't cry. There had to be something wrong. And he said, "Son, tell me what's wrong." The little boy said, "Mister, my dad sent me down here to buy some things from the grocery store. And on the way down here, I lost my money. I have looked everywhere to find that money, but I cannot find it. I have been back and forth several times, but it is not there." The man said, "Well, tell your dad what happened. Everything will be all right." The boy said, "Mister, you don't know my dad. He will beat me." The big man took the little lad by the hand and went into the grocery store, bought the necessary items, and on the way out, he stopped and bought the young man a candy bar. Young boy took off running out of the front door, but just in a few minutes, he came back. He threw his little arms around the big man and said, "Mister, I wish you was my daddy." The big man said he must have driven 25 blocks looking for that lost money. Kindness. What are we offering to people? When we're unhappy and the world's got us down, how do we react? Do we punish others with our attitude, our words, our activities? Do we take out our unhappy feelings on others, or do we offer them kindness? But you know what? Sometimes when we're kind to others, it gives us a better outlook on life. In Galatians chapter 5, as Paul is talking about the works of the flesh, and then he contrasts that with the works or the fruits of the Spirit. And in that list that we have used for Ribies's over the countless years, one of those fruits of the Spirit is kindness. You notice right away in the next chapter, in chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." What are we sowing in our lives? What are we sowing in our families, in the church, at our jobs? with our neighbors. If people were to be honest about you and what they think of you and who you really are, what would they say? If someone else that you came in contact regularly wrote your biography, what would they say about your character, how you treat other people? Would your description be more closely aligned with Jesus or with Satan? What are we reaping? What are we sowing? We need to be careful about considering what we will reap from those things that we've sown, those seeds. Are you the kind person that you want to be? Or do you need to be more kind? Do you need to change your attitude, your character? Do you need to change how you treat other people? Kindness is not only words, but it's actions. How do you treat the police officer who pulls you over if you're speeding? How do you treat the cashier who is maybe having a tough time being a little slow? How do you treat the young boy or young girl who's talking a little loudly? What are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you saying? Would God be proud of the person you are? Or does the person you are need some work? Maybe today you're ready to enjoy the kindness of God. This hasn't necessarily been a lesson on the gospel, but it do want to encourage you that the gospel is open to all. All those who will hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, today you can experience God's salvation. You can experience God's ultimate gift of salvation. Are you a baptized believer? Are you a member of the church? Maybe today you want to experience that mercy, grace, and kindness of God for the first time. Maybe you're a child of God who looks at yourself in the mirror and what you see is not the kind of person you want to be or that God wants you to be. Maybe you see some ugly things in that mirror, some things that are not very attractive, some things that when Jesus looks at it, he wouldn't like very much. Why not make those changes today? If we can help you, we can pray with you, we can just be a shoulder to cry on, we're here to help you in whatever way we can. If you have any need, please come as together we stand and sing.